Today's review of Masechet Kelim is the ninth perek. The ninth perek, which is called Machat, is what is considered to be not Tocho, but rather Tocho in terms of Tzomit Posel. So Tzomit Posel, of course, is a special halacha that has to do with Tubas Meis. It's similar in certain ways to the things that we had learned before, but there's all kinds of new things that we need to think about, and that is what constitutes a tight seal, what constitutes a tight seal, and what is considered to be inside of the kli of the tight seal, and what is nitzal in the tight seal. And one additional very important point, and that is once again strange distinction between kli cheres and kli matachot. And let me explain to you what that distinction would be. It's a bit complicated. It's another one of these strange machlokas between Shammai and Hillel, where in the end, Beit Shammai ends up agreeing with Beit Hillel because of the way that they finally understood what was involved. And this is a crazy situation. It has to do with the fact that Chaverim borrow Kelim from Amei Haaretz. Now, when you normally borrow a Kli from an Am Haaretz, you put it into the mikveh, obviously, and because of that, you could be sure that it's Tohar. That's why Chaverim will not borrow a Kli Cheres from an Am Haaretz, because if the Kli Cheres became Tameh, there would be no way for them to be Matar the Kli Cheres. Now you'll ask, what good would it do to be Tovel Kelim that you borrow from an Am Haaretz if the Am Haaretz might have been Metameh them with Tameh Meis? The answer is, of course, an Am Haaretz is Makbid on Tameh Meis. The only issue that we call him an Am Haaretz is because of the fact that he's not sufficiently careful about Tumas Midras, so maybe his wife would sit down as a nida on his clothes, whatever, things like that, right? But of course, if the Am Haaretz tells you, no, it's fine, this was never Tumas Midras, nothing to worry about, you don't have to worry about it. So then you could put it into the mikveh to make sure that it isn't tamei because of the chashashas that we have and the gzeiras that we made about the spit of the amoretz and so on and so forth, right? No chashash of zivas and so on and so forth. Okay. There's only one big problem. And that is that a kli, which is itself tamei, is not matzil in an oil hames. So that means that if the Am Haaretz has this large oven, and inside of this oven he stores his pots when it's not in use, the oven is covered with a tight-fitting cover, and someone died in that house. Now, he comes a couple of weeks later, the Am Haaretz wants to lend his kelim to the chover. The chover asks them, was this ever exposed to a mace? No, of course not. He doesn't tell them that the reason it wasn't exposed to a mace is because it was inside of a tzomit posel of a tanur, which according to the Talmud Chacham, the chover, wasn't matzil in the oil mace because it was tameh. But the Am Haaretz doesn't believe it was tameh because as far as he's concerned, all of his kelim is tar. Now, the only thing that we could do is to prevent borrowing completely, which would be a disaster. Because that's one of the things we're very careful not to create social disturbance around the Am Haaretz chover distinctions. Because of that, Tainet Beit Shammai, the only effective way of dealing with this is to tell everybody that metal kelim will not be saved inside of a tzomit posel on a kli cheres, which the Am Haaretz has no reason to suspect that that entire takana was only made in order to screw him over and make sure that his kelim are going to be recognized as being tamei meis. He thinks that's the din. But in effect, what you've done is you have saved the chaver from distancing himself from his neighbors. And therefore, we're going to end up with this curious halacha over here that a kli cheres of all kelim is the one thing that is not going to be matzil, anything but ochlin umashkin in a tzomit posel. Fine. So therefore, let us talk right now what, first of all, is considered to be inside of the kli. So our first issue that we spoke about is sort of retaining our discussion that we had in the previous parak, that if you've got something that is inside of the floor of, let's say you've got a needle, it's sticking up a little bit. So then the question, is it really in the Avir HaTanur? And the halacha is only if it touches the dough when you start baking it and it starts to sag, okay? Now, let's move on from that into the din of Tzomit Pasil. Something is buried in the insulation of the tanur. So then the question is like this. If the tanur is tamei, it's not going to be matzil, the needle that's in its insulation, because a tamei kli isn't matzil. But if the oven itself is tahor, then it will be matzil things that are embedded in it as well, because they are and themselves considered to be embedded in the tzomit pasil kli. The same thing is true if it's in the top of the kli. As long as that top is the part of the top that's sealing the kli, and it's not the part that you smear over the edges, that's all part of the tzomit pasil. And then we go on to talk about a really crazy situation that is built on the problem of the takana that I just described. You've got a very common case. You have a barrel. The barrel is full of yayin that is tahar. Inside of this barrel, you have a metal siphon, which you normally used in order to siphon out the wine from the barrel. This thing is completely sealed now. The siphon's inside. The wine is inside. Everything has been sealed tight. And now it's in the same place as the Ohel HaMeis. Beit Shammai, this is where Beit Hillel went wild. How is this possible? So Beit Shammai says, look, the barrel is tahor, the wine is tahor, but the siphon is tamei meis. It's like crazy. How is that? Because of the stakana. It's a metal kli. Beis Hillel says, no, how is that possible? But in the end, Chazru Beit Hillel, Lohorod Kidivrei Beit Shammai, because as I explained to you, the takana actually makes sense. Now, suppose again, we are going to talk about something that's found on the bottom of the tanur, but this time, not to decide whether it's part of a tzomit pasil, not to decide whether it is part of a avir, but rather, how did it get there? So you've got a dead sheretz, right? And it's in the area, the space underneath the oven. I do not have to assume that it fell through the oven to get there. It might easily have gotten there when it was alive, buried under, and now it's dead. That doesn't affect the oven at all. If you've got something like a ring that is found under the oven, that could have been there before I ever made the oven. So I do not have to assume that it was there and was metame the oven. However, if I find it in the ashes that I used to heat the oven, then, of course, I have to assume that it was there from before. How the heck did it get there? Now, what is considered to be actually in something else? Let's say you have a sponge, right? The sponge contains a lot of liquid, but the outside of the sponge is completely dry, and it falls in after it absorbs mashkin tameim into an oven. The oven will become tamei. Again, this is the gzera b'aron mashkin. This is a new concept called sof mashke latzeit. Anything which in the end is going to seep out is considered to be there already. The same thing would be true. This is a machlokas. According to the Tanakama, if it's absorbed in something which is actually contains its own liquids, let's say in a turnip, okay? So the Chachamim say, well, it's the same thing. Sof mashka latzeit. Rabbi Shimon says, no. If it's inside of a turnip or inside of a reed, it then becomes part of the turnip or the reed, and it's not considered to be sof mashkin latzeit, even if it will. Same thing is true if you got little pieces of broken cheres from something that had been used for a long time to store, let's see, but a barrel was storing mashkin tameim, and then it broke, and now some of these broken pieces, they fall into the avir ha-tanur, and then you actually heat the tanur. then it's sof mashke matzeit, only in the sense that it actually did come out. The same thing is true if you've got new gefet, the pulp of the olive, and you squeeze it out. If there's any tummy oil that's in it and it falls into a hot oven, it's also going to be exuded in the hot oven. If it's over a year old, then it's considered to be tahor, unless you know that it's still damp. Now, there's another fascinating thing here, and that is if you've got pulp or you've got lees that actually had been made betahara, and now tummy people are walking down this area where you've got a pile of this stuff, and when they walk on it, they squeeze out some of the oil or some of the wine, and they are tummy. The oil and the wine does not become tummy from their feet. And the reason is that as soon as these things were absorbed in the gefet or in the zagin, they lose their shem mashkin. And they now are a new fruit that has mashkin. But the din is that mashkin will only become tmeim if you want them to come out. Over here, the people that are walking over them, they're just walking over them. They don't want them to come out. Now, there's also a different concept of beluim, and that is sometimes a solid thing will swallow another solid thing. It's very upsetting when this happens, but as you know, when you've got something, let's say you've got a stick and you've got a little hook at the end of it, like for instance, that's standard, a kush, and the metal gets screwed in so tight that it actually goes into the wood, you can never get it out, drives you crazy. So it was swallowed, so to speak, by the wood around it, right? Fine, this can happen, maybe a brick, but while you were baking the brick, your ring fell in, right? And now those things were tahar, and now they're brought into an oral hametz, and then they become tameh, right? Because they're not in a tzamit pasil, or let's say a zav moves them, they became tameh. They fall into the aviratanur. They will be metameh. Why? Because they're not tocho. But on the other hand, if you touch them, let's say even truma that touches them, will not become tameh, simply because of the fact that there is no maga. There's only the din of toch. You can't touch them because they're surrounded by brick or they're surrounded by wood. In the case of the plate that we had that's on top of the tanur, and it is attached to the oven as a tzomit posil. Now, there's two different dinim. There could be a crack in the seal between the upper plate and that which made it a tzomit posil, because remember, tzomit posil means it's tightly sealed. What is the size of a crack in the seal that breaks a tzomit posil? It's a remarkable shear, which is called the size of the pi mardea. It's a machlokas if the mardea, remember, we've used the mardea in terms of mikvos, we spoke about the mardea, it needs to be flipped, and so on. So this machlokas, whether it means that it's big enough for the mardea to actually go into, or whether it's the same size as the mardea. Then there's another question, what if there's a crack in the cover, not in the seal? So the shrida itself gets a crack. It's the same machlokas, except reversed. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim reversed their shitas because there was a Kabbalah that there are two shiurim. One would be a mardea nichnas, and one would be a mardea she'ena nichnas, and it's a machlokas, which one is more likely to be machmir? Is it the seal, or is it the thing that is sealed? And when we're talking about the mardea, we mean it actually is capable, not that it's the same area as the mardea, but it's actually capable of being inserted inside of it. The same thing would be true. We spoke about the vent hole, the ayin of a tanur. Same issue over there. Machlokas between, if you plugged it up, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim, what the shear is, if it's in the seal or if it's actually in the middle of the, it's in the side, in other words, that seals the piece of clay to it, or it's in the actual seal itself. Over here, it's not mardea, obviously, because it's a tiny thing, but the size would be the size of a spindle that can go in. And over here, the different, two different shiurim is, can it go in while it's on fire and still retain the fire or not? Same achlokas of Shimon Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, which one is considered to be the bigger shear, the hole in the seal or the hole in that which it was that was sealed. Okay, there's a lot of other shiurim over here that are details. I'm not going to go over them, depending whether something is in the size of a barrel, is it in the side. It also, one additional point, which is Kedai mentioning, and that is, if you make a hole, then it's always a hole. It's never a tzamit pasil. And another important thing is to note that if you want the hole, so in other words, we've been talking about a hole in a wine barrel. Well, over there, you do not want that wine exposed to air. But if it's in a honey barrel, let's say, we're over there, it's important that there be a little circulation. Then over there, it would be also be tame. Even the smallest kind of thing would be metame, would ruin the tzamid pasuk.